And you're recording.
Okay, we are still on section number three, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. Next up, we are on number two, 2398, in regards to Antonia Ronan, CBT. We're also going to take this with section number five, number one, and that is C2312, in regards to Adrian Castro. Board may review, discuss, and take action of possible unlicensed practitioner. Okay. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Antonia Ronan in case number 2398. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Ms. Ronan, please state your name for the record and then your attorney.
Hi, I'm Antonia Ronan.
Cody Hall for Antonia Ronan and for Adrian Castro.
Okay, and then Mr. Castro, if you'll state your name for the record as well.
Adrian Castro.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you both have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We do not have anything. Thank you.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. And let's see, Ms. Frost, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, so this is regarding a board memo regarding a premise license needed question initially on January 18th. 2023, Dr. Russell Green emailed who is no longer the responsible veterinarian of Phoenix Veterinary Internal Medicine Services as of December 31st, 2022, and the premise license was canceled. There was the hospital director of the new ultrasound company, Phoenix Veterinary Imaging and Mobile Services, called and had a question regarding several conversations that executive director Victoria Whitmore had no recollection of having that conversation. It may have been another board member. However, the question arose based on website information and the previous name of the business. Basically, the question was there a requirement to have a veterinarian, or medical services being provided by an unlicensed practitioner?
Thank you. Mark, for clarification purposes, can I swear them both in, and then we are going to begin, though, with one of them as opposed to having it kind of go together. Is that correct? Okay, great. Okay, so for both Antonia Ronan and Adrian Castro, at this time I would like to swear you both in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna start. Antonia Ronan, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I assume I can do that on
here. Yes, you can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members of the board, again, my name is Cody Hall. Here representing both Antonia Ronan, a CBT, and Adrian Castro, an unlicensed individual. And my request today is for the board to dismiss this complaint. I'll explain to you why. As Ms. Frost just summarized, the original basis for this complaint was a concern that perhaps Phoenix Veterinary Imaging Mobile Services was providing veterinary medical services without a veterinarian present. Second, there was a concern whether clients, meaning the public, could actually call and schedule appointments with Phoenix Veterinary Imaging. And finally, there was a concern about whether animal owners would be receiving a pet diagnosis from an unlicensed practitioner. Both Ms. Ronan and Mr. Castro responded to the letters and explained that they do not provide diagnoses, that they do not allow customers or clients to make appointments directly with them. If a client or a pet owner does call in, they are instructed that they can only provide services at a veterinarian hospital or a veterinarian's clinic, and that the pet owner needs to contact their veterinarian to arrange for any services they may need. They also confirmed again that Mr. Castro doesn't provide any diagnoses when he is providing this. And finally, they explained that they don't provide what is defined under the statutes as veterinary medical services. They only provide mobile imaging services, and those services are provided only to licensed veterinarian licensed veterinarians at facilities that are owned or operated by veterinarians. Now, many of you remember, I was not here back in April, but these two people were here back in April for a board meeting, and several board members had questions for them and asked for some documentation. Ms. Ronan did send in all the documents, I believe you had investigated it on your file, and that confirms that Phoenix Veterinary Imaging properly informs veterinarians about the scope of the services that they provide. They also provide documentation to show that the prior clients that they used to work with under Phoenix Veterinarian Internal Medicine Services have all been informed that that version of the company no longer exists, the name of the company has changed, the scope of services has changed. The documents also include copies of billing and imaging, which the board had requested, so that there can be an investigation to make a determination of what Mr. Castro and Ms. Roman were telling me last time was true. And I do believe that based upon the memo that I read, indicated that those veterinarians were contacted. They confirmed that neither Mr. Castro nor Ms. Roman is providing diagnoses, that it literally is limited to an ultrasound image that is taken at a veterinarian's clinic or a veterinarian's hospital. So the concerns of the initial complaint, although valid at the time, have not been borne out. And so therefore, I believe the complaint should be dismissed. And to further argue that issue, Phoenix Veterinary and Imaging Services, just the provision of ultrasounds, does not constitute, quote, veterinary medical services, close quote, as defined by the Arizona statutes and regulations. Rule 310-10130 of the Administrative Code defines veterinary medical services as, quote, the acts listed in ARS section 32-20-201-29, close quote. So it's fun statutory interpretation, which is always fun for lawyers to do. But turning to that section, veterinary medicine includes veterinary surgery, obstetrics, dentistry, acupuncture, manipulation, and all other branches or specialties of veterinary medicine, and the prescribing, administering, or dispensing of drugs and medications for veterinary purposes. Now, ultrasound is a tool that many veterinarians use, but it is not a practice that is limited to only veterinarians being able to provide. Technicians are allowed to provide. And when I use the word technician, I'm not talking about just CBTs, that there are imaging technicians, sonographers, for lack of a better term. There are no licensure requirements in the state of Arizona for that. There are no reasons that a person who has the training and experience, as Mr. Castro, cannot provide those services. Particularly when it is the healthcare provider, as you know from reading the investigative file, that the veterinarian himself or herself, who actually reads the report and looks at the imaging, that a specialist has separately read and provided a report back to that veterinarian. So the veterinary medical services are being provided by either the licensed radiologist who is looking at the studies, or the interpreting physician, veterinarian, excuse me, who is interpreting it when he gets the report, or she gets the report. Neither Mr. Roden nor Ms. Castro make any diagnoses. They don't prescribe medications. They don't talk to the animal owners other than to tell them that they can't make an appointment directly with Phoenix Veterinary Imaging. And they provide their services only at facilities at the request of a licensed veterinarian at that facility. They don't go to people's houses to perform ultrasounds. And again, performing an ultrasound is not identified either specifically or even generally within the applicable statutes or administrative regulations. No one reading the statutes or regulations would reasonably think that performing an ultrasound is providing veterinary medical services. the veteran medical services again, and the interpretation of the study, they're done by licensed veterinarians. So on behalf of Mr. Roman and Mr. Castor, they're here to answer any questions, but I would ask the board to dismiss these complaints. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Ms. Ronan or Mr. Castro.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I do have a couple of questions. I want to start initially with your currently named, please correct me if this is not up to date, Phoenix Veterinary Imaging and Mobile Services?
Yes.
Okay. Thinking back to my structuring of English sentences, by the way, I'm a lay person, I'm a public member. That means Phoenix Veterinary Imaging and Phoenix Veterinary Mobile Services are what you can conclude from this name. You're not offering veterinary mobile services. So I think my impression is the name to start with is misleading. It says that you're providing veterinary services on a mobile basis. So that's starts out with my main concern. I think that's where looking at it as, again, a member of the public, I would think that there was a veterinarian in charge. Okay. Have you considered changing the name? Have you considered changing the name of your company to comply with statutes?
And I will address that first on their behalf, and then I think that they may have second too. In November of last year, they actually created the Phoenix Veterinary Imaging and Mobile Services and was registered as a trade name with the state of Arizona. So they did properly change the name, and the corporation, Phoenix Veterinary Internal Medicine Services, shows as a dissolved corporation. It's no longer intact. And they do not, I don't want to get into an English debate, but the fact of the matter is, they are a mobile ultrasound service.
They're a mobile imaging service.
Yes,
they're not a mobile veterinary service.
That is a veterinary tool.
But it is
semantics.
Yes.
Way
but
it's
only
the questioning part.
It is only veterinary imaging. And I will tell you a practical reason that they tried to probably come up with a new name, not probably, I know they did, came up with a new name, PVIMS, to try to keep it that way,
sure.
Is because for years they had practiced under the Phoenix Veterinary Internal Medicine Specialist, and so all of their email addresses, all of that contact information is PVIMS. And the difficulty in this day and age of changing all the names to a new, company, and I would also address that the name of the company, does not change the fact that they do not, in fact, provide veterinary mobile services.
They don't provide veterinary mobile services?
They do not. They only provide imaging services at licensed veterinarians' facilities.
Okay, so I'd like to end this line. it's circular. I agree that the website, I don't care about the name, but somewhere on there, it should be inviting veterinarians to call, get my services, because that's who you want, right? And it doesn't say that. I mean, it's just anybody can call, and you shouldn't have to get the call to tell them, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you, you need to call your veterinarian, because only they can use me. Well, why not have it right on the website that we service veterinarians? Somewhere in there. Not the name, I don't care.
I believe name it change. Does say serving the veterinary community.
It's serving to the Phoenix metropolitan area.
Yeah. My question is about one thing on the website that you've been servicing since 1992. That's not true because that business absolved, correct? And this one started in November 2022, formally January 1, 2023. So that's misleading that you've been servicing the veterinary community since 1992 because you couldn't have.
And that's not under the purview.
Right, but I'm saying that that's part of it.
Yeah.
The big part of what this case is correct. It's been cleared up. The website's been corrected. We got the information on what services are being performed that we were able to validate. You know that veterinarians know that. So I don't have any other questions looking at all the information that we received that we requested when we met.
So I would just, not a question. No, since it's not a question, I'll wait for debate.
Okay. So, okay, so do any board members have any additional questions for either individual? Okay. We don't have a complainant exactly. We are the complainant in this case. So now.
We're all here.
Well, yes. But now I would like to give you the opportunity, if you would like to have any, you know, last additional remarks that you would like to end with. And then we will start our deliberations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the only question I'm going to be, before I make a final comment, possibly I need to find out, I guess maybe the unspoken thought is, part of the initial comment was the concern about a premises license issue. And I don't believe this is a premises licensing issue because they only provide mobile services. There are separate regulations, obviously, for mobile veterinary services. But again, my argument and my position is the facts do not show that they're providing.
Only a veterinarian can have a premises license.
Right, and so therefore, yes. Unless the board has some concern that maybe there is a reason to have veterinary services license, I'm not going to make any further comments.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And you guys can all step back now. Thank you. Okay, Ms. Frost, you were the lead. Would you like to make a motion or Mr.
Or do you mind
Mulvey?
If I hijack?
Yeah. I mean,
so I was ready to go with this when they gave their first reply. I didn't think we needed to do an informal. I didn't think it was necessary, right? But what they do need to know is what we've said about the website. It needs to explicitly say, you know, the public needs to know that, oh, I can't call this guy. I'm not a veterinarian. They need to know that. When they bring it up, when it pops up, however it gets in front of their face, they need to know that. Second, I kind of feel, maybe they had this counsel retained for their business purposes anyway, but if they had to just retain him for this, I kind of feel bad about that because they're not doing anything, they're doing everything exactly the right way. They answered all our questions. I don't think we had to have this informal, but they should know. We are a little gun shy maybe sometimes, and we do ask these questions because there are people out there running around, lay people with ultrasound machines, going to people's houses, and they're doing sheep and goats and pigs and whatever else, whatever they can do, and nobody ever reports them, so they never get here and they never get picked up by the county sheriff because we never have the who, what, when, why, where. We don't have an owner coming forward, oh yeah, that layperson came and did my animal. So yeah, when we hear about this stuff, we've got to ask the questions and investigate. And I would apologize that it went this far. I didn't think it had to. I think you answered the questions appropriately. I think the website needs to be updated.
Did you see the updated?
I saw what's in here.
Yeah, there was updated. So there's the original one, which it is updated.
But is it clear? That,
right, he means updating it further with.
Yeah.
And
like the 1992, there's no reason to have that there. I don't,
yes,
you know, that's
misleading.
And like I said, that's not our purview. That's, you know, just a ethic trust issue, right? You know, I mean, that's just out there. If you're going to have it in the public, be honest and open and get it done. But yeah, we can be jaded because we know it's out there. And well, we did ask the questions, we got the answers we needed. I just don't think it had to go this far. But
it was the questions we had that were supplied that we had that got us to this point. So it got us the information. At least they know that we agree. So if you want to go that far. But I'll make a motion with the information that we have to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, so we probably need to do these separately though.
Yes.
So.
Oh yes, I'm sorry, that was on 2398.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to dismiss case 2398. Let's do roll call, Victoria, or no?
Not
okay, sorry. Oh, right. Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And then if you'd like to make a motion for...
C-2312?
Yes.
So just do no action, is that the...
Well, dismiss, we opened the case, we need to dismiss.
Okay, it just wasn't an informal, so... C-2312, make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to dismiss case C-2312.
It's actually just to close it.
Close.
Close it.
Close it.
I was like, it's not...
Sorry, close case. If there, no further discussion, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay. Let's see. The board has voted to dismiss case 2398. This concludes the matter for today, and you both will receive written confirmation of the board's actions. And this concludes the informal interview. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think I asked this last time, Victoria, because I wasn't here whenever this case got opened by the board, and then it got tossed to me, and I've been told by many board members, why was it open? So can you tell me who voted on opening it? Just because I asked last board meeting, I was here.
It's in the minutes.
I know, I didn't see it in there.
That was in the month before, I believe.
Yeah, I was, yeah, can we have that next meeting, please?
February or something.
I want to know.
Well, I think you can just let her know, it doesn't have to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to know, because I kept getting asked, I'm like, I can't tell you, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do.
Well, keep in mind that there had to have been a vote.
That's what I'm saying, that's what I wanted to know.
So February.
So...
Right, so it would have been in February meeting.
Can I go off this one?